I feel like I just heard the gospel this afternoon. I went back to my bedroom and I said, now what? Lord, are you here? He said, no, Todd, I'm with Dan. I'm just so thankful that you came just for this one. I'm so grateful. Sheesh. All right. Let me just share a little. You guys, what do you think of the conference? How many of you have been to other ones? If you've been to another Power and Love, stand up, please. Come on, look at you, Power and Loveians. That's awesome. Okay, praise God. All right. Life-changing. For me, it's enough that, you know, when I started with these, I just came, you know, we kind of shared this morning. You know, I just came because I wanted to go and take people out on outreach. Like, I was so excited. It'd be time for testimonies, I'd be the first one. I'd run up to the front of the line and be like, because I just love to talk about what God was doing all the time. And I still do. But when I came to the first one, I wasn't a speaker, I was just coming because I just wanted to take people out. And I just got real joy taking people out that were petrified. Like people that were so scared. I mean, there's testimonies of people that were so scared. They got a spirit of fear, trembling, shaking. There's no way I'm going. I mean, that kind of stuff. Like, really. And so I came to the first one just to do that. And I was so excited. You know, I met Tom when he was up at Global Awakening. And that's where I met you and your wife. And I met Josh and his amazing wife up there at the first Global Awakening school. And it was something where I thought I was actually going to go to school there to be a part of this supernatural school. And 2 weeks before the school started, God said, you're not to be a part of this school. And I'm like, what? But Lord, I already asked people if they could help me to pay for me to go to this school. And they gave me a scholarship, a halfway scholarship that were going to pay half my way. And it all worked out and I didn't go. I actually went up there to do the same thing, just to take people out on outreach. And Dan used to go and teach and I'd just go and kind of be his sidekick, like taking people out. We'd go into the city and down to the deepest, darkest, amazing sections and love people. And it was my heart cry. I just love to love people. And so when Power and Love started, I was like, man, I just want to come and hang out. And then I got the privilege of sharing my heart. And not because I wanted to come there to preach. I just wanted to share my heart. And this thing has been my whole, it's the reason why I'm alive. I mean, the reason why I'm alive is to manifest Jesus, is to manifest sonship, to know what it means to be loved by my Father and to represent that love everywhere I go. And to love God is with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And so I've been a part of these Power and Love conferences, and this is our 79th one, which is really, 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 really amazing. And so last year, in January, actually this year in January, Tom, with Power and Love Ministries and Lifestyle Christianity being two different ministries, what happened was Tom came to come and to help me because I need a lot of help to stay straight and to keep steady. But it's too much to do two different ministries. So what we do is we do the schools of Power and Love, which Tom started and when he left Global Awakening. And I've been a part of this since the beginning, since day one. And he's one of my best friends. And I just love him and his family with all my heart. And they moved down to Dallas in January to say, hey, we're going to do this. And so we came together in January with Lifestyle Christianity but to do Power and Love Schools. That's my mission. That's my goal. And so this, usually we do about 9 or 10 a year. It usually works out to 9, probably. And so if you do the math, that's how many years we've been doing these. But next year, we have set aside 16 dates to do 16 Schools of Power and Love. Because I believe, look, I believe that this right here, this school, that this is, I mean, out of all the stuff I do, and I do things, and I'm so thankful that I get to do all these different events. But the Power and Love Schools are where I see the most fruit, I see the most reproduction, and we don't teach you how to do the stuff. We teach you who you are, and then the stuff just becomes a byproduct of who you really are. Like, love is the priority. Love is the reality of what we're doing here. We're teaching about what love looks like. And then all of a sudden, you actively, like the girl that came up here, she said, I was just out there, and you know that cup? It's empty and thirsty. And I'm like, I get it. She's like, I just love people. And for those of you that don't know, she was kind of going through some stuff yesterday. But today, she's up here giving a test. It's what truth can do. It's what love can do. It's what God wants to do through everybody. And if we get a hold of this, it'll change your life. It won't just change your life, it'll change your family's life. It won't just change your family's lives, it'll change your work life. It'll change everything, and your priority won't be about help me get into a big ministry. It'll be just let me represent Jesus everywhere I go. And if that's part of the equation, God will put you there, but you'll be completely thankful in your job as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a worker in a garage, as a school teacher. And you'll realize that you're not bound by what they say you can't do, because you can't bind love. The word of God's not chained. It's so exciting and so amazing. So this is what I want to do. I want to devote my life to having these schools. And so when we do 24, 24 is a little bit more than 9 and a whole lot more planning, and there are a whole lot more work. And so, like, my heart is to do these. Do you like we did this in a neutral venue. And so we've been doing them at churches, and I like that, and it's nothing against the churches that we've done them in. The problem is churches don't really play well together sometimes when you do it in one church. And the problem that we really had was that when you do it at, like, personally, I struggled with this, is when you do them in someone's church, a lot of people from that church don't come. But people from other places come. And it's like, what is going on? So I've been working with Reinhardt also for the last, like, almost 5 years, and seeing how he gets people together from churches, like, I've never seen anything like it. There's a grace on their life and the magnitude of what they're doing. And 75 million people have come to Jesus, not just people that they've counted and said, okay, I think that was a hand. These are registered decision cards filled out, handed in, decisions for Christ, handed to pastors in that area, and then every decision has been followed up by local church. Like, that's ridiculous. So I saw this and I went, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And I know that I've been in kind of like a school myself, involved in what that is, because I want to do this on a large scale. Like, I want to do this in neutral venues, and I want, what would it be like? Like, we have 1,000 people or 1,200 people in this. Listen, we're moving in just in the next couple months, we'll be in a 5,000. We'll be in a 5,000. So what we want to do is, I'd like to move, and people say, well, it's not, it's about a big conference. No, it's about activating people into who God's created them to be, and them going and walking and stepping out in that identity immediately, so that it becomes theirs. Immediately. Because if you notice, we didn't teach you, this is what you do when you approach somebody. This is the formula. This is how you're going to go through it. This is your 5-step program. You're going to first step, second step, third step. You're just going to become love, and then after that, you're just going to become love. And then on the third step, you're just, remember, it's refer to step number one. It's just being who God created you to be. So I want to do these up. In the next 2 years, we're going to do 24 of them. I want to go into event centers. I want to go into big event centers. I'd love to do a 10,000 person Power and Love, to where I have 10,000 people that we can train together from multitudes of churches from all over, where we can all come together and we can be in unity of faith. We can activate and then go out and love people. Come back and it'll be too hard to share. We'd have a line, the testimony line would be ridiculous. So But God's doing stuff. We want to do books. We want to do all kinds of things. Like, here's the deal. Like, at Power and Love, we're... This is my heart. I mean, if this has changed your life and you guys feel like this is something that's really, really changed your life, the YouTube videos, what we're doing, I need help. Okay, I need to do a studio. I need a lot of different things. I'm not a guy that comes and manipulates and maneuvers for money. I grew and came into with Dan, and that's all I knew. And that's where I want to stay. So this whole offering thing is a really weird thing, because I've heard people do it really weird. But who knows that it's necessary in order to have funding for buildings, for these different things. Look, we did this, and this is a neutral venue. If I were to do a neutral venue, and it were to be, and we're pressing into this, and it were to be 7,000 people, you're looking at about $35,000, $45,000, $50,000 a day. So now we're looking at not just going to a church and having a venue that's $30,000 for the weekend. Now we're looking at, we have $150,000. That's like five times as much. I have employees that I'm now, God's responsible for, but I'm the one that said, hey, yes, we need you. Yes, we have team. Can I get my team, the people that are full-time right now, that are helping us? Can you stand up? I just want to come up here, Will, Emily. Come here. Come on. Sorry. Come here, guys. Where's my mom? Because she's part of my team, too. Mom? Where you at, Mom? Mom! Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Robert? Where's Lynn at? Yeah. Am I waiting for my mom? She's always working. Okay. Someone get my mom? Mom? Mommy! Mommy! Do you remember that? I remember doing that at night when I was little. Mommy! Well, when I was in fear. But I just ain't in fear anymore. That was... All right. This is the biggest deal, because God said, I want you to move to Dallas. And I didn't tell any of them I was doing it. He just said to me, he said, I want to put a team around you. And we moved in January, and we moved away from all of our family, and we just moved, and it was a big deal. And Tom moved from California, he moved from Reading, and moved his wife and his kids, and we just went down there. And I'm like, all right, God, this is what you said to do. And we moved away from everything. I was 6 miles away from Dan, and we moved away from Dan. But when I came there, God said, I'm going to put a team around you. So since January, this is the team that God put around me. And these guys are some of the most special people on the planet. And I just want to thank God for all of you, for Will and Emily and Jonathan and Rick and Mommy and Robert and Tom. These are my guys and my girls. Guys, could you do me a favor? Could you stand up and just thanks. Yeah. I told you I ain't good at this thing. But this is who God has put around, and all these people have the same mind. They're all so faithful. And I'm just so thankful. And so these are my first full-time people. And I'm like, I'm just so grateful. Robert does all of our YouTube stuff. He's all the YouTube videos. This guy right here.
Like crazy, right? We're at about 7 million minutes a month right now on YouTube. And it's changing people all over the planet. We get the craziest emails. So this is my team. These are our peeps. And they're amazing. Guys, if there's change in your life and you'd like to help us change other people's lives, and you think that the Power and Love conferences, the YouTube videos, all this stuff has helped you, would you please think about partnering with us? And if you can't, please don't think, no. We're going to still produce all the videos. We're still going to have them all out there for free for you guys. But we need help. So if there's anybody that would like to help us, help us. And if not, please come and get it for free, because we love you either way. Okay? But we do have a way that you can partner on a monthly basis. You can partner on a weekly basis. Monthly partners, Tom will explain why it's easier. I'm not too good at it. But I just know this, that I want to continue doing these, and we want this to cover the earth. Amen. Thank you, guys. I love you. Get him, Tom.
Thanks, man. I'm just going to share one quick thing that Todd didn't mention. That, can you imagine, how many of you ever watch Christian TV? I don't. Because it just seems like it's message after message after message after message. Could you imagine a half-hour show of Todd White ministering out there on the streets, like some of these YouTube videos that you've seen, but then him teaching through that encounter and teaching the body of Christ how this is a normal Christianity. This is anybody could do this, and encourage the body to get off their chairs and out of their pews and out of their buildings and just go out and love and teach on love and teach this and impart this. I believe coming to a meeting like this and kind of being pushed out of the nest is better, but I see so many people just watching YouTube and starting this and doing it in love and seeing impact all over the world. And so that's something that we want to do, actually. And we actually have, with a major Christian network, wants us to do it. And so we're working on that right now. We talked about an app this morning. I don't have time to talk about all the different things. I just want, if you want to partner with us, I think the ushers there with the, do we have those? If you would like to partner, we have partnership cards. Put your hands up, and there's folks that will give those out to you right now. And you can just fill these out and put them in the offering in just a little bit. Maybe I will share one or two other things about while you're filling those things out, just to give you a chance. Please complete it completely with your credit card information on there. And we're going to take an offering. Even if you want to do, there's offering envelopes, I know, there as well. If you do an offering envelope, that's for one time. For those that are doing partnering weekly or monthly, what that helps us to do is just plan our budget and to know how many staff we can hire, because we'd love to do, get another help with videographers. There's video series we want to do. There's discipleship training we want to do. But I'll just tell you about the app. I mentioned this morning. We actually have an app right now, but it's not on the platform that we need it to be on. It's not as versatile as we need it to be. But could you imagine an app where if you're in Boston, Massachusetts, or Albany, New York, or wherever it is, and you go on your app and you type in your name and your email address and where you live, can you imagine then popping up around you? You now see 50 people in your city and you put in there that if you're either confident or not so confident or just a beginner at this stuff, and that you can find out who are the other confident ones in your area, who are the ones that have been watching, you know, Todd and have been kind of in this flow, and you can kind of find out and send messages to one another, send testimonies to one another, say, hey, we're gonna meet here, we're gonna meet there, we're gonna go out to the mall, we're gonna pray for people, say we're gonna practice this together until it becomes a part of our life. I remember actually with the Global School Supernatural Ministry. I don't know if you remember this, Josh, but in the Global School Supernatural Ministry, They came to me after Bill Johnson was there. He just said, you know, at Bethel Church, we don't have people that go out on outreach. We have people that live life out in the malls. and our Jesus out in the malls. And they came to us afterwards and said, "Hey, Tom, you know what? We're not supposed to be going on outreach. You're supposed to be doing this as a lifestyle. This is supposed to be a lifestyle." I said, "You're absolutely right." They go, "We are?" I go, "Yeah." He said, "Does that mean we're not going to have outreach anymore?" I said, "Well, let me ask you this. Has it become a part of your life so that everywhere you go, this is a part of your life? It's a lifestyle." "Well, no, I do it more. It's more, I'm more aware of it, but it's not like a lifestyle yet." "Okay, well, as soon as it becomes a lifestyle, we'll stop doing the outreaches. But until we do, we're going to start, keep doing them." Sometimes we just need to be sharpened with one another. And so that's what the purpose of the app is. We'd love to do a whole new level app, which is somewhere going to be between 100 and 150,000. We've gotten different quotes on that. It's a lot of money to do these apps, but I believe the impact worldwide will be incredible. Anyway, I think I've given you enough time. I could tell you other projects of the ideas that we have in our hearts, but I think you got the idea. And if you just want to pray right now and just say, thank the Lord for you guys even listening and being able to share about this. So, Father, thank you for putting us together. I'm so thankful for Dan. I'm so thankful for Todd. I'm just thankful for what the 79 schools of power and love and just every, the lives that have been changed and the testimonies we've heard over everyone. And I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of doing what we get to do. Lord, I bless everyone here now. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven over them. You'd pour out blessing, not just so they'd be able to give to this ministry, Lord. You'd pour out blessing so they'd be able to bless waiters and waitresses. They'd be able to give to those on the streets. They'd be able to be amazingly generous. Lord, I pray that there'd be an overflow of their life. And Lord, we pray for this offering that it would, that the things you've laid in our heart, Lord, we know you're going to provide every need. So we thank you in advance for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. If the ushers could come on up and you can go ahead and pass those offering buckets. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to have Todd come back up and he's going to just continue right in. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
And hey, man, you know what? I love you too.
That's Old Testament, bro. That's an eye for an eye.
It is. It is. I haven't graduated. I need to go back and listen to Dan's message. Yeah.
What just happened? That was like payback. Wow. I was so rocked today. I'm just so. I said to William, I said, "Dan, it's the clearest gospel." What did he do? He just read Romans 6. It's so clear. It's at the end. Like, what do you do? What do you do? Do you argue with that? Like, that's crazy. Like, I'm thinking, I'm in the chair going, gosh, this is like so amazing. Like it's where I was. It's where Dan, like he preached this. Like we go to healing services and talk about healing, but this was healing. This is it, because this is healing for your soul. Like God would desire us to be in good health and prosper, even as our soul prospers. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions prospering, being completely clean of that sin thing, of that twisted thing, being born again, like as if you've never sinned, as if you've never eaten the tree, like redemption. I was taught in the beginning of my life that redemption is being in the garden with God as if you've never eaten the tree. Like that's redemption. Redeemed isn't just being purchased, it's being brought back to the original value that God created you to be in the beginning, as if you never ate the tree. And to me, that means that it's as if I never smoked a joint. It's as if I never did cocaine. It's as if I never ripped people off. It's as if I never practiced the Ouija board. It's as if I never had a book of shadows. It's as if I never was a Wiccan. Because that's my life. That's who I was. It's so night and day. It's like completely opposite. It has nothing to do with who I am. But if I don't believe just the basis for that truth, and if I don't go in to a place of not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of my mind, then I'm a Christian that's incorporated Jesus in for what I can get from him, but I'm not going into the secret place so I can become like him. And today I went back after that session and I'm like, God, I need to go back to Genesis and go the whole way through again. So I went back and actually, I just opened my Bible to Galatians. And I'm like, you're kidding me. It's just like the exact same thing in there. Galatians 3 and 4 and 5. It's like amazing. I don't know. To me, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, God, this is like the good old days. But they're the same days. I mean, Dr. John, I can hear him giggling in the back. That's you, right? Yeah, I can hear him. I heard that laugh out of everybody. Ah, it's Dr. John. Why? Because this is a guy that we used to go down, and when I spoke my first time on his porch, it was that Hebrews 3 that I said, turn to this, and I had no idea where we were going. I thought I did, but I didn't when we got there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never read this before, but it was too late. Today, if you wouldn't hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. That was on Dr. John's porch, so that was like there. But John would get this, he would take every message that Dan made, everything, and he would burn them on CDs. He's probably passed out 60, 70, 80, 90,000 CDs. Just, here! I'm not kidding. It was crazy. Dan and I would be like, wow. And Dr. John used to call us and he'd say, hey, brother, I know that God will use me, but I believe that God wants to. You remember, Dan? It was crazy. John would call us and be like, well, you know, I believe it's, well, I'm calling you right now because I want you to pray for somebody. And we would, but then all of a sudden they got to this place where John's praying for these people and it's just different. Like, it's become who he is. Dan's rubbing his head right now because it's true. No one knows. I'm sitting up here making a fool of myself, and I really don't feel foolish because you can't humiliate a humble person. It's true. But we love Jesus with all our heart, and this is the only message that I've ever learned. And I was taught to go in my bedroom and seek God for myself so that I can know him personally and know who he's created me to be. And I'm so, so, so super excited about this. Can you tell? No? Okay. Well, Gosh, I keep thinking about those meetings on that porch. Jesus. Whew. Guys, he really, 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 really loves us. I'm overwhelmed with the simple fact that he loves me. You know, I say statements like, I'm a believing believer that believes. And it sounds silly, but I'm just convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. There is no doubt in my mind. There hasn't been a doubt in my mind that he loves me. And I'm so excited about this, that right there, just that simple, simple truth. And I preach constant and or am always on the go, but it's the same foundation. It's the same rock. It's the same simple, simple truth. He loves me. I remember Dan, he did this with a daisy. I forget where we were. It was the first time I saw him do it. I think it was at Harvest Chapel, where he said, he loves me. Every petal represents he loves me. And I started doing it in my room. It sounds crazy, but I did. God, you love me. You love me. You love me. You love me. And it was mine. I'm like, this is all my daisy. It became mine. But each petal that I started to pull off started to be a scripture about his love for me that never changes. And you can never run out of scriptures that define his love for you. Ever. ever. They just keep coming. It's constant. And when you're preaching, there's millions and millions of, there's scripture after scripture after truth after truth after truth that bombards your soul, and it just keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. And it's awesome. I want to talk to you a little bit about Peter today, tonight. I really feel like I need to. There's a lot of people that I meet. I go to church after church after church after church. And a lot of times, a common thing that I hear is I can really relate to Peter. I hear people say that. And my question always to them is, which one? Because if you relate to Peter in the Gospels, he's not born again before Jesus breathed on him. See, Peter, before that, he denied Jesus, but he didn't want to deny Jesus. He thought, no way I'm going to deny Jesus, but he's the one that had a knife and cut off Malchus's ear. Like, he really thought in his heart, I'm carrying a knife. Like, if they try to take him, I'm going to take someone's ear. Like, he really did it. Like, that's crazy. He really thought, no way, it's not going to happen. So Peter, he's thinking like a man on a constant basis, because he couldn't think like a son. He thought like an orphan. He thought like somebody. We talked about it last night with Azariah. It's crazy. It's this adoption where the Holy Spirit, we talked about today, where the Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God, and then your spirit knows the deep things of you, and the Holy Spirit and your spirit link up, and all of a sudden you can commune with God and you can know the deep things of God. Are you with me? So it's pretty crazy. Peter didn't have that. He didn't have that. Jesus told them. And when he said to Peter, he said, guys, like, he asked them. It's simple. It's in Matthew, like 16 and 17. Peter's like, they said, who do you say I am? And Peter, he was the one that had the answer. But at first he said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this and some say that. And some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. I mean, a lot of people are saying a lot of things, Lord, actually. Like, you're a healer. Some say you're a savior. Some say you're a healer. Some say you're mad. Some say you're happy. Some say you're good. Some say they don't know. Some say they just, I don't even know. Actually, I don't want to touch it because I don't want to mess with that because God is sovereign. Some say this and some say that. Yeah, but I've been hanging with you. You're my peeps. I've been hanging out with you, actively walking with you. Who do you say that I am? And Peter is like, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus, because Peter, as an orphan, says, you're the Christ. He gets a glimmer. He gets a glimpse. The Father tells him that this is the Christ, because there's no way to say that unless God reveals it. Right? So Jesus is like, wow, Simon, whew, amazing job. You didn't come up with that one on your own. The Father told you that. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. What is the rock? The revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Come on. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he says, and on that day, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's, wow. Awesome. Yay. Great job, Simon. So you know Simon's like, yeah. Did you hear what he said? I'm the man. You know he did. I think he did. I think that Simon got it wrong and he really got it wrong. Like, he's like, I'm the man. Look what I got. Yeah, I know, God, but still, me. Look at me. Pride. Yeah. I got it. You didn't. He got it so well. Jesus is like, man, great job, Simon. And he congratulates Simon, but Simon doesn't know how to take it. So Simon's thinking, I'm the man. But Jesus says, I got to die soon. So Simon's thinking, no, dude, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. This will never happen to you. And he rebukes Jesus. Like, you just got it really right. Now you're really about to get it really wrong. And he rebukes Jesus and says, it'll never happen to you. Never. No way. Not on my watch, bro. I got a knife. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. If you're Simon and you just got praised by God, by Jesus. Way to go, Simon. Awesome job. Yeah. By the way, I'm going to die. Get behind me, Satan. You who just heard from God. It's really crazy. See, I understand this because Simon didn't have the Spirit of God. He had the Holy Spirit with him. But Jesus said, do not fear. When I go, I won't leave you as orphans. The Spirit that's with you will be in you. See, the Spirit wasn't in him yet. So Simon acted as an orphan. And Jesus told him, but he couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. He wanted to get it, but he couldn't get it. So Jesus made a way for him to really get it. But at this place, he says, get behind me, Satan, for your mind is full of the things of man and not the things of God. So what happens is we've been teaching it, sharing it about worldly wisdom and about earthly wisdom. It's sensual. It's demonic. It's self-seeking and full of envy. What was Simon doing? He was entering into a place of self-seeking. He was sensual. He was saying, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, and no one's taking you away from me. That's it, bro. It ain't happening. You're staying with me. This shall never happen to you. Get behind me, Satan, for your mind is full of the things of man and not the things of God. So what he's saying is for you to say, chill out, back off, I'm only human. How dare you talk to me that way? You hurt me, you offended me, is to say I'm only demonic. He says, your mind is full of the things of man and not the things of God. Get behind me, Satan, you're thinking like a man. So to say, hey, back off, I'm only human, is to say, hey, chill out, I'm only demonic. It's a simple truth, and it's right there. It's crazy ridiculous. He even goes a little further, and he says, unless a man denies himself, picks up his cross, and follows me, he cannot be my disciple. Right after that. This is crazy. That's why the denying of self is so important. But you can't focus on just fighting your flesh and doing it in your own strength, or you'll live a Romans 7 lifestyle. See, Romans 6 says you're dead. Consider yourselves dead to sin. Romans 3 is amazing. Righteousness apart from the law has been given. Romans 4 is outstanding. Abraham was given the sign before circumcision, righteousness, because he believed God. That he believed that God was able to do it. Romans 5, as you've been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Romans 6, reckon yourself dead, 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 dead. You are no longer a slave of sin, but you are an instrument or a slave unto righteousness. You are ball and chain to right standing with God. It's amazing, it's powerful, it's everything. Romans 7, if I'm trying to do this thing in my flesh, I will always fall short, and there's no way for me to do this. Romans 8, who shall save me? This wretch that I am. Thank God in Jesus, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And then it adds this, it doesn't stop there, who do not walk according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. This is a big deal. So Jesus is correcting Simon. And he's saying, you know what? You're thinking like a man. And it's demonic. It's not okay. It's really important that I go away. Because when I go away, it's going to be awesome. Because he's going to come. And you won't think as an orphan anymore. Because you've got to deny yourself. You don't know how to do that. So the Spirit of God is going to come. And he's going to teach you how to do that. Because he's going to reveal to you what it means to be right with God. And that's not as exciting to you as it is to me. Listen, man, there's no catch. That is the catch. Like, here's the catch. Jesus paid a price for you to be right with God, for you to be completely forgiven, 100%. I mean, imagine Peter. Peter then, in John 14, Peter. Do you understand that Peter's the guy that denied Jesus? Like, that's ridiculous. Did you see the movie The Passion? Did you see Jesus looking at Peter as he's being beat down? And Peter, I mean, imagine that. See, we say that restoration for Peter was just when Jesus said to Peter on the beach, when he's on the beach after Jesus is resurrected and Peter is out there on the boat. Jesus is resurrected. They've seen him in the room. Just like Dan said, peace be unto you. Peter is out there on the boat and Jesus says, children, have you caught anything? Nothing. Throw your nets off. Okay. It's the Lord. Boom. Peter, first one in. Bang. Swims to shore. He gets to shore. I hear people say that total restoration for Peter was right there when Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I believe that's an amazing encounter with Jesus, but I believe that complete restoration with Peter was when the Holy Ghost came. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter got consumed by God. I've heard it taught. I hear it taught. But as I'm searching through Scripture, I'm like, that can't be it. Because Jesus is like, he's like, you know, he breathes on him. He says, peace be unto you. Receive the Holy Spirit. So they receive peace. But then Jesus says, now I want you to go and I want you to wait. And they go and they wait. And the Holy Ghost comes. And then Peter. I just watched that movie the other day that you gave me a long time ago, man. It was John in Exile, the theatrical. Have you, anybody ever seen that? Holy mackerel. I sat there and I cry and I cry. It's like the most awesome presentation, man. You guys got to get it. It's John in Exile. It's an old theatrical performance from the dude that played Luke in the book of Acts. If you watch, it's so powerful. But it talks about, Peter. And he's talking about Peter. And I'm sitting there and I'm reliving the fact of Peter and his denial and reality of him denying Jesus. But then the restoration of Peter on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came down and completely transformed Peter. Peter was a different man before Jesus came through the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus transformed Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit hit Peter and he changed into a different man. So I want to read, this is the Peter that I want to read about right now. Okay, so I wasn't going to stay on that, but I want to read this because this is a completely different person. Okay, I'm going to read in first, I'm going to read 2 Peter 1. I just love this so, so much. It's so powerful. I wanted to share a whole bunch of testimonies with you, but This is really, really, it's just been burning on my heart. So 2 Peter 1. So now we're going to read about the Peter that was born again, that Jesus breathed on. It was God breathing into man, just like when he breathed into man and it jumped up, he breathed into dirt and it jumped up a man. He breathed on the disciples, and that's restoring that. So where Jesus became in them, the Holy Spirit became a fountain in them. But then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit became rivers of living water flowing through them everywhere they went. And Jesus says, go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father, right? He says, and then you will be witnesses. See, in my life, when I got born again and I got rescued, I got saved, I got set free from me, and I started to pursue God in the secret place. I started to pursue God with everything I was and just, I saw Dan's life and I was so excited about it. And Dan said that he found God in his bedroom. So I said, well, God's got to be in my bedroom too. I'm not kidding. And I opened my Bible and I went after this and I went after this and I went after this. But there was a time when I am praying for all these people. And Dan was with me. I mean, Dan knows. I prayed for a lot of people and didn't get to see breakthrough. I didn't get to see breakthrough, but I kept going on and kept going on and kept going on and kept going on. And it took me, it was over 900 people that I prayed for before I saw somebody healed. And it says, these signs will follow them that believe. When I say that I'm a believing believer that believes, there's a lot more to that than you know. It's a big deal. So the Holy Ghost came. And he came and he baptized me and he changed me and he rocked me into a different person. And I actually started to see major breakthrough and crazy stuff started happening. But this is Peter, this one that got baptized. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. So Peter's talking about his new faith, not just faith that Jesus walked with him and it was cool. The faith that Jesus says that you're not going to be able to really get it until I go away. So me leaving you, you're bummed out about it and you're mad because you don't understand. You're sad because you say I'm going to go, that I said I'm going to go. But it's going to be better for you that I go, because if I don't go, he won't come. But when he comes, it's going to change everything. This is what enabled Peter to be crucified upside down. This is what enables disciples to actually be burned at the stake and not bow out. This is what enables a man or woman to be possessed with the faith in right standing with God. Not just the theory, but the active embodiment of righteousness. The truth of what righteousness does and the fruit of righteousness in a life, which we read in Romans 6 today, the fruit of righteousness is holiness. Righteousness bears its fruit unto holiness. Let sin no longer have dominion in you. You've got Peter, you've got this guy that really messed up. I mean messed up. He denied Jesus. He was called Satan by the devil. Called the devil. Satan, get behind me. That's horrible stuff. Peter had a conscience that was messed up. Dan read in Hebrews 10 today, and it talks about sin consciousness, crushing sin consciousness. In Hebrews 9, right before that, when you get in there, Hebrews 7, it talks about if the first covenant was good enough, you wouldn't need the second one. Then it goes in, and then Hebrews 9 says this. It says that how much more shall the blood of Jesus cleanse your consciousness from dead works, or your conscience from dead works, in order to serve God. To me, this is what it meant to me. See, when I said I'm sorry to God in those first 5.5 months, I didn't understand what it meant, because I said I was sorry every day, and I would call Dan every day and say, dude, I did it again. 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 Help me. What do I do? Well, there's a seed growing. Well, make it grow faster. But I didn't know how to make it grow faster. Then I got shot at. Then I went away to Teen Challenge. And I come back and I saw this life and I went back into my secret place. God says in Hebrews 9 that the blood of bulls and goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer for the sprinkling of the unclean, it wasn't able to clean the conscience. So my conscience is my mind, my will, and my emotions, my memory, my thought process, my thinking. So what happens is it says, how much more shall the blood of Jesus cleanse your conscience to serve God from dead works? Now listen, what is a dead work? Everything that I wish I'd never done. So to me, I needed that internal forgiveness. See, we call it healing on the inner self, but it doesn't talk about being healed on the inner man. It talks about being strengthened in your inner man. So it's not about being healed inside. It's about being strengthened inside. It's about being strengthened in your inner man. Paul said, I labor as in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. There is a forming of Christ in you. There's the forming of the righteousness of God in you, and the reality of the character of who God says you are inside of you, where every dead work gets excommunicated and cut off, to where truth sets up his camp in here so solid that every lie is exposed by the truth of who God says you are. And the Holy Spirit makes it alive. He makes it real. And it's all standing on that one word, righteousness. It's all standing on that same thing. And Peter got it, because when I read in here, you see a different man. You look at some of these attributes, it's crazy and ridiculous. But if Peter couldn't get to that place that I read, where Paul was in Philippians 3, that he said, there's one thing I've laid hold of, one thing, forgetting those things that lie behind, pressing forward to those things for that which Christ has laid a hold of me. One thing, there's one thing I've laid hold of, forgetting. Why forget? Because God forgave and forgot. Your sins and your lawless deeds, God remembers no more. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies in Hebrews 9 because he would go in there not without blood for sacrifice, because there was no way for the cleansing of the conscience. But Jesus came with a better way, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the blood of himself he offered. This is so crazy. When Dan was talking today and he said, don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. See, in the Holy of Holies on earth, The high priest would go in there once a year and he'd offer blood for people, you know, sins committed in ignorance. But it could never cleanse the conscience. Even that high priest walked out of that room with a dirty conscience because the way into the Holy of Holies in heaven wasn't yet made available. It was symbolic for when Jesus came. But when Jesus died on that tree, he said, "It is finished." And when he said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, that temple, that veil on that temple tore from top to bottom. Because God didn't want to be separated. He wanted us to come straight to him, not just through a priest on this earth, but through a high priest, Jesus. So Jesus said to Mary, "Don't yet cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. I have something I have to do. I need to finish this thing." And when he laid his blood on the mercy seat, the blood of Jesus cries out, "Mercy." And when the Holy Ghost comes, he reveals what it means. He convicts the world of sin because they don't believe in Jesus. He convicts the world of righteousness because he was going to go to be with his Father. So I would like to tell you that when Jesus went to sit at the right hand of God and the Holy Ghost was poured out, that conscience that was dirty, that conscience that was muddy, that conscience that was twisted up and couldn't believe he denied Jesus, got washed clean, got completely cleansed, got completely forgiven, and the Holy Ghost convicted Peter of his right standing with God. And his old sins he forgot and remembered no more. I promise you, it's the only gospel that's in there. There's nothing else on the planet that can forgive you and forget who you were. The blood of Jesus is not psychological. It's not about revisiting every bad area as you're growing up. "Well, I had something happen when I was 10. Well, I had something happen when I was 11. Well, my whole life was bad stuff. Man, if I had to do that, I would be an epidemic. I would be like, dude, like, I'm 34 years old. No one ever shared the gospel with me before. If I would have got a hold of the wrong person, I'd still be going through counseling every day of my life to get free. If I would have came into a church and met the wrong person, I'd still be in counseling. I'm not kidding, I'd never be free." "Well, you know, you have this too." Close your eyes. I'm going to take you back into your mother's womb. It sounds funny, but it's sickening. Because whether my mom was ready for me or not, whether my mom knew who she was or my dad knew who he was or not, all life comes from God. See, God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Whether my mom said, "Well, let's have a baby." Whether my dad said, "Come on, honey." Whether it doesn't matter. What matters is that when I get born again, I get refathered. And I find out who my real dad is. I promise you guys, please don't bypass this. I feel like I just need to stay on this forever. I don't have another message. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And the disciples hung with him and were so excited. But Jesus came to reveal the Father. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, this is crazy because when Mary saw him outside of that tomb, I love it, man. It's so amazing to me. "Go and tell the disciples that I'm ascending to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father." And on that day, God became Jehovah Papa. See, God was a father. He was a father, but not like that. Not like he was with Jesus. See, when Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan, when he went down, righteousness was given to Jesus, see? And see, on that day, when Jesus went down in the water and he came back up out of that water, it says that the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And God spoke and he said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son." This is my beloved son. Are you with me? This is crazy. I mean, you're talking about the same father that's up on the mountain with Jesus later on when Jesus is up there and he's transfigured and Moses and Elijah are there and Peter, James, and John are there. And all of a sudden Jesus is transfigured and he's like, whoa, shining in all of the brightness of his glory. It says brightness. Moses is there. Elijah is there. Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. Jesus representing somebody that they don't even know who he represents. They're freaked out. And all of a sudden, Peter's like, dude, let's build 3 tabernacles and we'll hang out here. And God shuts Peter up and a cloud comes down. And a voice speaks. And that voice says this. This is my beloved son. Hear him, with an amplified exclamation point on the end of it. Hear him. Don't focus on Moses. Don't focus on Elijah. Focus on Jesus. This is my son. He came to reveal me. Now, listen to him. That's what he says. And a lot of people are searching a lot of things. I'm listening to the gospel in Dan's message today. And I'm thinking to myself, like this bread is every day it's coming down in the children out there in the wilderness. You guys were here for the session. If you weren't, it's worth getting a million times over. Like that bread that came down, that bread was Jesus. They loathed the worthless bread. Do you know what that means? That means that Jesus wasn't enough for them. Do you understand that? They loathe the bread. Don't say that Jesus isn't enough. I need something else. Give me something else. There's nothing else. It's Christ and him crucified. Jesus is enough. That rock was Jesus. Jesus is enough. He is the provision of God. The cross is everything. It's everything. There is nothing else, guys. That's it. God has spoken. He has said, this is my son, Jesus. Listen to him. God has spoken. What's God saying? Jesus. What's he going to say? Jesus. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Jesus. Jesus was Simon's best friend. He was all the disciples' best friend. And their best friend was going to be taken from them. And Peter said, no. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You don't understand this. You're thinking like a man, but you've got to think like God. I know you can't think like God, and I need to set you beside because you're trying to be a stumbling block for me. What I'm about to do for you is going to change you on the inside, which is going to change your outsides. But you have to know, let me go. I got to do this. Get out of the way. And he set his face like flint. He headed towards the cross. The cross didn't try to pursue Jesus. He pursued the cross because he knew that you were on the other side. And that when you got this thing, you were the joy set before him. He knew that when this cross got you and you got the cross and you got righteousness and you got what it means to be right with God, nothing else was going to matter. And that bread wouldn't be loathed anymore. His name is Jesus. When Jesus tells the other guys, he goes, hey, listen, guys. Moses, he wasn't the one that gave you manna. My father gave you manna. Okay. I'm the living bread. What? Yeah. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Okay, dude, you're pushing it. No. Let me push it a little further. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What does that mean? Does that mean unless I take communion every day? No. Unless you become Jesus, unless you become what Jesus says you are. His flesh is the real food and his blood is the real drink. That means that your life is to be Jesus personified to the sphere of influence that you're in. Not to claim I'm Jesus, but you're supposed to be Christ-like. The gospel is to make you an imitator of Christ, dear children, and walk in love even as Christ did. Come on, that's the gospel. This is the real deal. Okay, now I can read. Those who have received a faith of the same kind, like precious faith, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Do you know what grace? I love this. I looked at it. It's charis. I looked at grace. I looked at the definition. My favorite part of the definition of grace. We've already nailed down that grace is transformational. Any grace that doesn't lead to transformation is demonic. Grace is the divine inspiration of God upon the heart with the outward reflection of God upon the life. Oh, listen again. Grace is the divine inspiration of God upon my heart with the divine reflection of God upon my life. That means He influences my heart. He permeates my heart. He impregnates my heart with love. He impregnates my heart with truth. He renews my mind, and I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'm not conformed to the world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can prove and approve what is and what is not God's will. It's not a hot potato. You are required to know the will of God. But the first place of the will of God is to know that you are loved by the Father. Grace and peace be multiplied. I mean, a little grace is good. A little grace is good. A little grace, the divine inspiration of God upon my heart with the outward reflection of God upon my life. Now multiply that. That's crazy. To you, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not just about knowing about God. It's about knowing God. We've hit this thing and pounded this thing. God wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So that that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him is so strong inside of you, it becomes the divine stronghold of God. So when anything else tries to exalt itself up against that knowledge of God, it gets taken out by truth. It gets plastered by truth. It's exposed. The truth exposes the lie. And instead of entertaining the lie for a second, you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. I love it. I love it. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Say everything. 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 Oh. Through the true knowledge, there's that word again, that true knowledge of Him who called us by His glory, His own glory and excellence. For by these, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. My gosh. Promises of God aren't to be tacked on your refrigerator and quoted. I really want to go after that for a while. I know so many people. Well, you know what God promises? Amen. Praise God. He promises me this. He promises me this. He promises me this. And we bypass the reality that God has made you in His image and Jesus restored that which was lost. And God wants us to know Him. And He's given us the divine power to know Him. And you're partakers of the precious promises because of God's divine nature that He's given you. But we so battle with the carnal nature and the divine nature. And we think that we're bipolar in the spirit. We think that we're bipolar Christians. We think that we're supposed to fight our flesh. Shut up, flesh. I heard Dan say this, man. It stuck with me, dude. Lots of stuff that you said stuck with me. You're probably hearing a lot of stuff that stuck with me right now. Because I don't know another gospel. It's entertaining to you, isn't it? It's freedom, man. I'll just thank you for the life that you showed me, bro. Because I don't know and I don't want to know another life, man. Ever. I just don't. This book is freedom. This is... God, we lower this and we say, well, I know that's what it says, but there's no buts. God says it. This is Peter. Oh, I can't even hardly see. For by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Escaped. Escaped. Escaped lust. Escaped it like gone. Like, wow, it says flee from youthful lusts. That's what it says. Run away. Look at Philippians 4. It says set your mind on these things. There's a list of amazing things. We're about to hit a list right here. This list is so super awesome. There's a couple of lists that I found in my Bible that says that if in your life, you will always bear fruit. You'll never be barren. You'll never stumble. Jude says that you'll never stumble. You'll never stumble. It says in James that if patience has its perfect work in you, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Who wants to be perfect and complete? That's who God says you are. But without love, you can't be patient, because the first thing that love is patience. Love is patient. People say, well, I don't like patience. It's only because you don't like love and you don't know love. Because if you know him, you know patience. He waited 34 years for me, and he was always there. He was waiting 34 years. God, thank you for waiting for me. It's so exciting. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's my father. He doesn't keep my list of wrongs. We talked about it today. How much more can you hear before you just believe it and become it? Oh, God. I'm not doing well right now, because I just want us to get it. I just want us to get it. It's my heart cry. I burn inside. I'm on fire right now, sweating really bad. Because I just want us to get it. My heart burns in me. I need us to get it. I meet people all the time like, well, brother, you really are on another level. No, I'm not. I'm just a believer. I believe the gospel. I believe this truth. How can you believe something that you don't want to read? How can you believe something that you don't want to get in secret and know? How can you know somebody if you never do the one thing that he said to know him? How can I get the knowledge of him? Do I just think the Holy Spirit's just going to boom it in there? Give me the knowledge of him. Give me the knowledge of him. Come on, Holy Spirit, you're the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Come on, God, I'm not going to pick up my Bible. I'm just going to live by whatever. Wait, maybe that's God. Maybe that's God. Maybe that's God. Maybe that's God. Some say this and some say that and some say this. Well, I believe personally that if God is love, that's really bad. I meet people every day. People have been Christians for a long time. Well, I've been so much, brother, through so much that I don't really want to talk about it. Talk about what? Well, I just don't know. You're trying to produce fear in me. Truth doesn't produce fear. Truth crushes fear. The truth of who God is, the perfect love of God. This is where Peter was back then. See, John knew that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Peter didn't know he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. No, wait. Hey, no. Okay? You know, wash my feet. If I don't do this, you can have no part of me. I washed my head, my hands, my whole body. Here I am. This is the dude. I love this. Oh, gosh, help me right now, because I'm not doing good. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. With everything that you are, with a burning desire, with a steadfast going after this, with all diligence. God says, if you seek for me diligently with all your heart, you'll find me. But sometimes things take the place of God. Wives, kids, jobs, careers, football. Look at me. I'm just going to talk to you here real quick. When Jesus came in the temple, when he came in there, he saw all these money changers. He saw all these things that didn't belong. Jesus didn't do okay with that. And Jesus never did anything unless the Father was doing it. He never said anything unless the Father was saying it. When he came in there and he saw the money changers and he saw all the stuff that was going on that wasn't supposed to be going on, he's not okay with that. He flipped tables, let loose these animals. He was going crazy with a three-strand cord. And the Pharisee said, who do you think you are? Tear down this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. It took us 46 years to build this. And you think? And they had no idea what he was talking about. I want to tell you something. that when you have an encounter with the Spirit of truth, with the Holy Spirit. See, I wish I could do this. I wish I could set a table up right here. I heard this example one time and it made me cry. And the guy had iPhones, smartphones, computers, football, baseball, soccer, worship, marriages, kids, school, studies, everything. And he has it in there and everybody's looking and he's got it all up here. And he tells everybody to close their eyes and he flips the table and all the stuff goes. And then everybody freaks out and he picks the table back up and he cleans it all. And he says, this is what holy looks like. I cried so hard. I said, God doesn't want us to have all that other stuff that occupies our time. It's just stuff. Worship can be stuff, but worship is good. But if that's what you focus on and never have communion and never have relationship with God, it's just stuff that's crowding the moment. CDs and YouTube videos can be stuff. Because what good would it be for you to watch all these YouTube videos but never have your own personal relationship? Because anybody can copy a message. Anybody can study their Bible and preach a message. God wants to flip the tables inside of us so that we are consumed with holy. To where God's word becomes priority and the truth of who God is. This is what happened with Peter. So it says, with all diligence in your faith, have virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. And in your virtue or your moral excellence, add to that knowledge. Knowledge of what? Spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him. We've talked about it over and over and over. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life isn't knowing about God. In John 17:3, Jesus defines it and he says eternal life is knowing the one and only true God. Knowing you and him, communion, the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost. That is knowing God. That's a life every day, all day long. So it says, add to your moral excellence, virtue, add to it knowledge. And then to your knowledge, add self-control. And to self-control, add patience, perseverance. And in your perseverance, add godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. What is godliness to you? What is patience to you? Patience doesn't come unless you go through fire. Patience doesn't come unless a trial comes first. A big trial comes, but it's not sent by God. It's sent by the enemy to capsize your ship. But if you see who you are, then that trial leads to patience. And that patience leads to character. And that character leads to hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. James says, trials, consider it pure joy when you face these various trials. Brothers, it's awesome. Pure joy. Why? Because let patience have its perfect work in you. But if you don't know who God is before you go in there, you will never find him when you're in there. And then mass confusion happens because you'll think that God's the one that's doing this. Why would you allow this? And you'll blame God for something the devil's come to do. And then all of a sudden, you don't know who God is and you don't know where you are. And you're praying that it doesn't happen again. And you walk on eggshells. And then all of a sudden you wake up, God, I hope today is not like yesterday. And it's worse than yesterday. And the devil says, I got him now. Bap, 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 bap. He doesn't know God. Boom, boom, boom. One more chin punch and you're done. And then all of a sudden you're mad at God, but then maybe you pray for somebody and they get healed. Wait a minute. That's my identity. No, that's not your identity. The miraculous is a byproduct of knowing God. We need to know our Father because the trials and junk always comes and Christian maturity only comes through massive trial. Because it's the trials that come. It's in Peter in another section. Consider it. If need be, when you face these various trials, which is for the purifying of your faith. But you have to know God when you're faced with the trial. You have to know who God is. You have to know who your Father is. And before this, when Peter was faced with big trials before Jesus was crucified, he had no idea who he was. That's why they all ran. But when the mercy of Jesus, peace be unto you. Wait, look what we did. Peace. Oh, wow. That's ridiculous. And then the Holy Ghost comes. Boom! And possesses them. Changes everything. I love it. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love, listen to this. This is like crazy, ridiculous, amazing. For it is, listen, this is God. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in what? In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, listen to this. This is so crazy. Ready? This is ridiculous. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Oh, no. Oh, listen here. See, we say, well, I don't know if it's that important, brother. See, there's lots of things that are out there to try to establish and get all your stuff out of your past. There's lots of things out there, but the blood of Jesus is the only thing that works. I'm promising you. He cleanses our conscience from dead works in order to serve God. What's a dead work? Anything you did apart from Jesus your whole life. Everything. Anything. The carnal mind is at war against God. The carnal mind. That means any thought that you have that's not renewed and has the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him is at war against God. That means that the Holy Spirit has come to take our mind and take the war out because we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. It's no longer a war. There isn't a war. But the enemy knows that if he can get you to focus on what you wish you've never done or what you wish was never done to you, he can get you bound in a place of rearview Christianity, which is illegal in the kingdom of God. Oh, I don't know that we believe that because there's not a lot of claps. See, when I asked how many of you have had your past eating your lunch, it was almost everybody. But when I mention this, see, this truth, when it hits your soul, when it hits your heart, you will never redig anything that ever happened. Ever. You will say, God, I thank you. The blood of Jesus is enough. Satan will say, you're worthless. You'll say, God, I thank you so much. I'm so worth the blood of Jesus. Dan showed me something in the beginning of my life because when I was just, I'd ask him questions. I'd hear him at meetings because I'd just sit right beside him. Yes, sir. Be like sitting by Jesus. I'm not. You know what I mean. Jesus. I'm going to get hit with hate mail for that one. Bless you. If you saw who I'm seeing, you'd know. It's like Jesus. We can all be like Jesus. Because somebody around you, you're the only Jesus that they've ever seen. Your life is the only Bible that they've ever read. I promise you, this is so important. So many testimonies of ridiculous stuff that's happened because my life has resembled what the Bible says, and them not even knowing what it says, but they've seen my life and they've seen what the Bible says in action. It's love in action. Oh my. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten that he's been purified from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, make it all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. As long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. People say, well, you're always going to stumble. My Bible. I'm not kidding you. See, this is in your Bible. People freak out with this. This is what it says. People call you self-righteous because you say that you don't have to stumble. People call you self-righteous because you say that you don't have to sin. Dan read it today. You do not have to continue in sin. You're supposed to be dead to sin, but alive to God. No longer slaves to the slave master called sin. You have the ability to sin, but you're no longer a sinner. When you get saved, God takes you out of a place of being a sinner that got saved by grace through faith, and he calls you a saint. That's the gospel. Jesus writes, he says, pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists, they are for the equipping of the sinners for the work of ministry. That's exactly right. It's for the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry. Saints, that doesn't mean holier than thou. A saint means God calls you holy and set apart. Flip your table, get rid of your junk, clean that thing. Let your life resemble what the gospel says. Fill your heart with the truth of who God says you are. And stop living limited to what the world says about you and to what religion says about you. And if religion does say it about you, let it be caring for widows and orphans and keeping yourself unspotted by the world, unblemished, no hypocrisy. This is a hypocrisy-free zone. Why? Because I want to represent Jesus with everything that I got, man. Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm really not, but this is amazing. If you practice these things, he who practices these things will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. What things? The list. The list. That's your faith, virtue, with all diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness. This is crazy, ridiculous. This list is amazing. But if these things aren't active in your life, you just forgot that you were purified from your old sins. But let's go back to the beginning, to righteousness, where God cleanses your conscience from every dead work. And let's move on to the truth of who God says we are. And let's stop looking back there, because he who puts his hands to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom, because you can't plow straight. You have to believe that you've been forgiven. God wants us to live from righteousness instead of towards it. He wants us to live from the cross instead of towards it. He wants us to live from victory instead of towards it. He wants us to live from hope instead of hopelessness. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Why would God have come to live in you if you were just junk? Why would God have chose you if you were just junk? You weren't junk. Something underneath that sin was worth redeeming, or Jesus wouldn't have paid such a high price to come and get you back. That's for everybody. So how dare we lower the standard to, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like God loves me. Well, Jesus died for you. Yeah, but I don't feel like, well, you're never, ever, ever, ever going to feel like it. You have to believe it. To believe and to feel like are two totally different things. Oh, man. Okay, therefore I will always remind you. I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. And have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. As also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. I'm going to die soon. I'm going to put off this tent, he's saying. I'm going to go, but this has to be your foundation, and this has to be everything to you. This has to be your priority in life, because if these things are in you, you will never stumble. People will tell you you're going to stumble. People are going to tell you you're going to fall, but my Bible right here says if these things are active in my life, I'll be neither unfruitful or barren in anything, in the knowledge, the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what happened to Peter. This is crazy. For we did not follow. Who here likes prophetic words? I know it's scary. People are like, well, I don't know, man. I think so, but probably not. Who here has ever been given a prophetic word and it was amazing? Okay. All right. It's not. Well then. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my. Sorry. I've had some really ridiculous prophetic words, and I've been on the floor unconscious, and it's been ridiculously crazy, and it's been really amazing, and I've heard amazing prophecies, and I am not making light of them. There's a gift to that, and it is really awesome, and it can be really utilized in the best way. I mean, when Bob was with us, I heard the most ridiculous prophecies that I've ever, like, I've never heard anybody prophesy like that. He was just amazing in the words that he gave for people. And just, I'll never knock the prophetic. It's awesome. I'm talking about something that we need to build our life on. Would you like a prophetic word that you need to build your life on? This right here changed my life forever. This is what created in me this monster called truth that doesn't accept lies. I promise. For we did not follow clever, devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Who knows that Peter and them, they had the ability to talk about this. They were there. They were with him. They were hanging with him. Peter's the one that denied Jesus, but something happened to Peter. He's going to talk about it. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son. So Peter is referring to the day that he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he got his foot in his mouth by saying, let us build 3 tabernacles. This is when Moses and Elijah were up on that mountain with Jesus, and Jesus was there shining in all of his glory. He's transformed. He's transfigured in there. It's the same word. It's so crazy because the same word that Jesus was transfigured on that mountain is the same word in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the Spirit of God wants to transform us like Jesus was transfigured on that mountain. When I go into the secret place and I get with Jesus and I look into the Word, I'm staring into the very face of God. Because this is Jesus to me. The Word, Jesus was the Word made flesh. He came and dwelt among us. This is what we have. The Word of God is alive, sharp and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide and separate my soul from my spirit. So what happens is when I get born again, my spirit and the Holy Spirit communicate. My mind needs to be fixed. Needs to be fixed. So what happens is the Holy Spirit illuminates and brings to life the scriptures that are in this book. And he illuminates and he fills my heart with truth. Then all of a sudden it starts to renew my mind so that I can think with the mind of Christ. I promise. But if I don't start thinking with the absence of the sin that I wish I'd never committed, there'll be confusion up here. If I don't start my life in Christ, and that doesn't mean that you have to go back to 30 years ago when you got born again. That just means that first love to me comes when the reality of you knowing that you're loved by the Father hits your soul. That means that your sins and your lawless deeds he'll remember no more. Jesus became the propitiation, the substitute, wiped out the handwriting of requirements against you. It all goes back to the cross. That's why Paul said, I consider nothing except Christ and him crucified, because Paul had a boatload of trash to be forgiven of. He martyred the first Christian. But the blood of Jesus speaks better things. And he got completely free from that. Peter did a lot of terrible things. That's what it says. There was utterance from God the Father. Jesus received honor from honor and glory from God the Father. Such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this is what it says. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on that holy mountain. But Peter didn't understand what happened. They were in fear and they hit their face. Jesus says, come on, guys, let's go. And then this is recalled to memory. Why? He says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first, no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever given by act of a human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Peter, man, I want to come down there. They told me not to, so I'm hanging on the edge here, my toes. Peter heard God speak and was petrified. It was a different kind of fear. Peter heard God speak on that mountain when God said, "This is my beloved son, hear him." And James and John and Peter were there and they heard it. And when they went down off that mountain, it didn't really make sense to Peter until the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came to convict Peter of the very thing that God spoke over Jesus when he came out of the River Jordan. See, when Jesus went down to that river, he said, "John, you need to baptize me and tell righteous so that righteousness might be fulfilled." In order to fulfill righteousness, one would have to walk 613 laws and 10 commandments, never missing one. And when Jesus came down to that river, he was 30 years old. And in Jewish culture, at 30, you inherit everything that your father has. So when Jesus went down into that water and came back out, when Jesus said, "I and my father are one." I mean, Dan talked about it today in Luke when Jesus was like, "Hey guys, in your ears, the scripture's fulfilled." They wanted to kill him. "Who's this guy? What? What's going on? Kill him!" First script, he would have been offended. He'd be hurt, but you couldn't hurt him. So you can't hurt God. And God wants to create in us a heart to where we don't get hurt by people, but we hurt for people. See, I saw Dan. I saw him walking in this. And I'm like, dude, like this is crazy. And I know Dan's life. I knew him personally. We were, and still are, but personal stuff. And I watched him. And he never, ever changed. Never. I'm not building Dan up. I'm telling the truth. I tell it everywhere I go, everywhere I preach on the whole planet. So it's the same thing. He modeled something that's to be normal for everybody. When this day star rises, this morning star rises in our heart, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and lights this light inside and reveals to us, you are forgiven. You are no longer bound by dead works. You are right with me, and his name is Jesus. So here's the deal, and this is the truth of it. That day star, he's Jesus. When Jesus dawns inside of your heart and the truth of God's word comes, the truth of right standing with God, what happened to Peter? When you read through 1 and 2 Peter, when you look through here, this is a different man. This was a man that denied Jesus. This was a man that rebuked Jesus, that was rebuked by Jesus. This is a man that was called the devil. This is a man that got transformed by the renewing of his mind. Dead works need to be gone. The only way it happens is by the blood of Jesus. I know Dan's going to explode tomorrow. And Tom, it's just going to be an explosion. An explosion. I don't want to do an altar call, but I do want to do this. If the epidemic of your past eating your lunch has been there, I just want you to stand to your feet. I don't want you up here. Just stand to your feet if your past has been eating your lunch. That's it. And we want to pray over you right now. I promise you. I just want to pray that this right here, this day star, rises in your heart. The same thing that happened to Peter. Peter says the prophetic word. He says, God gave honor to Jesus. This is my son. Do you know what righteousness does? Righteousness, this is what it does to me. God says, this is my son, Todd. In whom I'm well pleased. That's what it does. That's what righteousness does. Righteousness makes you as if you've never eaten the tree. Righteousness makes you as if you've never eaten the fruit. Righteousness makes you as if you've never been that person. And you can honestly, every second of every day, be renewed in this area. Because the Bible says so. And this is for every one of you. Jonathan, can you come play? Come on, buddy. He told me he could. Oh, Jeremiah, is that okay? I didn't see you. You all right? All right. Sorry. I didn't know because you told me you might not be here tonight. All right. It's too late. Let's see if that keyboard really works.
At least you don't have to go like this. I've seen people come up here and go like this with Jeremiah's keyboard. They have to sit up like this. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for the truth of what it means to be right with you. God, I don't know another message and I don't want to. Father, I'm asking you to raise a generation that would believe this simple truth, God. Man, I want you to picture this, okay? And I just want you to picture that table that we talked about earlier. I just got this real quick image of a white table, but it's crowded with stuff. And honestly, to me, I read this on the plane, and I'm seeking God with all my heart, with everything I am. This thing made me cry for about 10 minutes straight. I mean, like bawling profusely, sobbing. Not because I saw computers, because I don't really know how to use them, on the table, because he used all these different things. But I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be your kids. It can be your wife. It can be your job. It can be sports. It can be worship. It can definitely be your ministry. It can be you pressing into your calling in life. It can be you pursuing the gifts apart from the reality of the truth of who God says you are. I mean, I went back to my bedroom today and I listened to Dan and I'm like, man, it's just so clear. God, thank you. And I'm reading in Galatians 3 and Galatians 4 and I'm crying. I'm like, my gosh, this is crazy awesome. Then I went to Galatians 5 and went, oh, man, God, you're good. Father, I'm asking you to clear our tables, God. Just clear our tables, God. Clear our tables, God, that there's nothing on our table. Nothing except Jesus. Would you ask for that? Would you just say that? Clear our tables, God. Clear our hearts, clean our hearts. That there's nothing in there except the pursuit of Jesus. God, I thank you that right now, Holy Spirit, you would completely overwhelm people with who you really are. God, I thank you for the grace being multiplied, for peace being multiplied in the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ and the Father. God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, you are outstanding, just outrageous. God, I'm asking you for people to just believe right now that their sins and their lawless deeds you will remember no more. Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience from dead works in order to serve God. God, I thank you that every dead work, every bit right now, every bit that's supernaturally God, you would cut it out in Jesus' name. You would completely clean the threshing floor. God, thank you. In the name of Jesus, God, brand new, no more junk, no more twisted thinking. God, I thank you that the truth of who you've created us to be, when a lie would come, we would capture that lie, that thought. We would bring it down because it's trying to exalt itself up against the knowledge of you. God, I thank you that every thought we bring it captive. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you upon everybody here. God, thank you for ridiculous grace, God. Ridiculous grace that leads to massive transformation. God, I thank you that we don't relate to the old Peter anymore. We relate to the new Peter, the one that got born again, the one that got filled with God's Spirit, the one that rightly represented you and that ran with the gospel. God, I thank you that we're not going to think according to the way that is right to a man, but we're going to think according to righteousness, one that's been made right with you. Jesus, you knew no sin, yet you became sin so that we might become
the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone here that has attained like precious faith in the righteousness of God and in the knowledge of God. Put your hands on your head, please. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. You're amazing. God, you're good, and your love endures forever. I ask you for renewed mind. I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Father, that we are no longer a slave to fear. We are no longer a slave to sin. For we are children of God. We are no longer a slave to fear. For we are children of God. Jeremiah, can you play that song? Just that one? Just stay right there. Just keep your hands on your head. I just saw this. It's rare. I want to do this right now. Thanks, bro. Thanks, Jonathan. I want you to do me a favor. I want you guys, I want you to sing this song with all of your heart, with everything that's in you. There is something about this. I mean, he says, from my mother's womb, you have chosen. I mean, the whole song's amazing. It's amazing. You are not a slave of fear. You are not. Perfect love casts out all fear. This morning star, this day star rises in your heart. The perfect love of God hits your soul. Boom. And you are no longer a slave of fear. Are you ready? Come on. Can we do this? Can we do this? I just want everybody, close your eyes. Stand to your feet. Let's worship Jesus with this song. Come on.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
No longer.
I am a child of God.
Bring it.